Welcome to the KP Podcast, where we talk about the business of real estate, a podcast about leveraging opportunities, growing your business, and experiencing financial freedom. Here are your hosts, Keith Anderson and Peter Kamboukos.
Welcome to the KP Podcast. I'm Pete Kamboukos, joined again this week with Keith Anderson. We're coming to you here from the Forum in Chandler. Keith, welcome back, man.
It is good to be back, but Pete, I hate to tell you, I'm freaking the heck out.
Freaking out?
Freaking out, man.
What's going on? Is that kid got you on the ropes or what?
Oh, no. Kid's fine.
Kid's good. That's good.
Is new dad? Now I'm scared. I'm going to be riskier now, or less risky. I'm worried about the world, you know, as the kids out there and so forth. So today, I got something I want to bring to you, and I'm going to mirror what we're hearing and seeing out there. So that's going to be kind of the component, is I'm going to take the stance of what we're seeing, and you're going to have to talk me through this, because our market has hit a new trend that we haven't seen in quite some time. We've been on this radio talk show and on all this stuff talking about how strong this market is, the supply being super crazy low, and us never 30% appreciation and hitting all our goals and projections. And so for the first time since I've been in real estate, we are seeing the opposite trend in our market. So, Pete, you're going to have to talk me off this ledge, because I'm the kid in this. I've never seen a market move this direction before. What the heck?
It only ever goes first. Up, right?
The appreciation is the only way we can go, right? It can't go down. So, and here we are. So for our listeners, supply is up 32%. Supply, what has been dropping for 5+ years, is now up 32% in 1 month, Pete.
That sounds like a big number.
That's terrifying, okay? We're talking about, we got a supply issue coming. We're done. We run for the hills. There's going to be so many houses. It's 06 again. I'm sweating. Pete, help me out.
Selling everything.
Why should I not just unload everything I own right now and go hide in a bunker in the hills?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got mortgages more expensive, right?
Yeah, rates are gone up. But talk to me about the supply. What should I be freaking out? Like 32%.
That's a big number, like we said. So I think first thing to remember here, Keith, is where are we coming from?
Yeah.
So what have we talked about, you know, in several of these podcasts, you know, over the last several months, and certainly I think all of this year? We are coming off of historically low inventory, all-time lows. So remember, just in March, I think it was, we hit the all-time low for history ever in Phoenix in inventory. So when we're coming off of such a low number, such a small number of inventory, the percentage increase is going to be much bigger.
Yeah.
Remember, it's a lot different if we're adding 1,000 listings off of 5,000 listings than if we're adding 1,000 listings off of 20,000 listings. You know, there's a big difference percentage-wise. And so, yeah, we're coming up off of, I should say, historically low numbers. So that percentage increase is a big one coming off of that. But we've still got incredibly low inventory. So I'll put it to you this way. Okay, we're seeing this inventory rise. And guess what? We're still not back to where we were just 2 years ago.
Okay.
When we didn't have very much inventory.
All right. But see, Pete, my blood is still boiling, because now on top of this thing, we got rates freaking me out as well. Okay. Mm-hmm. Couple months ago, January, I could get a primary house and I was sub 3. I was sitting close to 2.85 on my primary, just over 3. I have good credit. I had a big down payment, but I was sitting low 3s, right? Yeah. Someone just told me we're in the 5s. Help me out, Pete. I'm freaking out. Like, I can't afford. My mortgage just went up $800 or a month. You know, for the same house that I wanted to buy at the same price. Like, how does this not scream crash? Yeah. How do I not freak out?
And the Fed just hiked rates again last week.
Last week? Yeah. Pete, I didn't even see this. I'm freaking out. Help me out.
So, again, with the rates, we are coming off of all-time lows. We're coming off of all-time historic lows. Now, that's not to say that affordability, because we've seen this huge appreciation in the last couple of years. So now when rates are coming up, you know, it is running up against some of those affordability issues. But rates, like you said, what are we sitting at? 5.25, 5.5, you know, on average, give or take.
That's crazy high.
Really? where were we at like 3 years ago?
Well, so what and were so we in the 80s?
Let's put it in perspective. So, all right, that's what we're talking about. We're coming off of historically all-time lows. Now, people are feeling it because, yes, prices have gone up, and now, you know, they're coming up. But it's just like you said, you know, we're not at 8%, 10%. Or like you said, in the 80s, 15% and 18% mortgages, we're nowhere near that. We're, you know, back to a somewhat or getting back to a somewhat normal level. I think the other two points with this is, number one, and we've talked about this, and I was just talking about this again this morning, especially with rates, is remember that the market's always looking ahead, right? So the interest rates that we have today, when we're talking about 5.5% mortgage rates, that is based on the fact that the market is expecting the Fed to continue to hike through the rest of the year. And so all of that is already being priced in. So it's not like, oh, well, the Fed only raised two times or, you know, whatever they've done so far. It's, well, no, we're at these 5.5% mortgage rates because they're expecting the Fed to continue to raise through the rest of the year. And that's already priced in. So, you know, if we're moving up from here, it's because they think maybe they're going to do bigger rate hikes or they're going to continue even further. Conversely, I mean, if they say, hey, listen, maybe we don't raise rates through the rest of the year, you know, maybe we don't raise them every time or whatever the case is, maybe they even pull back a little bit. So, you know, I would say, remember, a lot of that's priced in. Other thing with supply, and I think we talked about this maybe a podcast or two ago, is let's not forget the seasonal curve. Mm. And so seasonal curve happens every year. And it is, you know, what do we see beginning of the year, especially here in the Phoenix market, you know, we'll see them listings kick up right after holidays, going into the beginning of the year. Then we hit our biggest season, you know, most busy season in real estate in the spring. So you'll see stuff start picking up in January, February, March, April, and into May. And then usually, you know, now you've got stuff in contract that's going to end up closing May and June. And we start to see those listings start to tick up again, usually in April. You know, it could depend, you know, 30-day window there, sometimes beginning of April, sometimes end of April, beginning of May, whatever. But that's the seasonal curve. And so that happens every year. And then listings will traditionally increase into the summer. And then we'll see them again in the fall, dip down a little bit, and then increase again towards the end of the year. And so that's the seasonal curve we see every single year. So you take the seasonal curve, which is already happening. You couple that with the fact that we're coming off of historic low inventory and rates were going up at the beginning of the year. So you had everybody rushing in at the beginning of the year to try to buy while they still had those rates at lower levels than they are today, with historically low inventory, like we said, that we hit in March, and in the seasonal curve period when we're drawing down on inventory, and you had a nice mix there to bring us way down. And now you've got, okay, some of that, those purchases were pulled forward into the first quarter because people were rushing to get those rates, and the seasonal curve is coming up. So now we're seeing this, you know, what looks like a big percentage number. But at the end of the day, all of this that we're talking about is to say, hey, listen, we're still at incredibly low inventory, right?
Okay, so let's say I can overcome the supply issue, okay? All right, let's say I can fix that. Then let's say I can overcome these interest rates skyrocketing right in front of me, right? Let's just look past those two things. Now I got a third one that's freaking me out, Pete. Our GDP.
Yeah.
Our economy.
Mm-hmm.
Now you help me fix my mindset that we aren't plummeting to the bottom of the earth. Because I have a little bit of a recession on the back of my mind that is a little painful, a little thorn in my side that makes me say, sell everything, Keith. Sell it all.
Yeah, I think you should listen, man. You should probably sell it all. It's probably all going to heck right now.
Don't freak me out. You're
going
to take me the wrong way.
I'm just kidding.
I'm ready to jump, Pete. Don't tell me to jump.
So, yeah, you know, there's probably, I mean, we saw the GDP in the first quarter. You know, they were projecting a 2.2%, I think, increase. And we actually ended up with a decrease. We ended up with a negative number. And so, you know, in most probability, we're probably in a recession right now. You don't know till afterwards when you officially have the numbers, but we're probably in a recession. I think the problem a lot of people make is that they think that a recession might mean home prices are going to go down. And that's not the case.
It doesn't? I thought recession equals decreased price.
It's not the case. So in fact, you know, we had pulled up a chart here for the team just a few weeks ago that was showing, and I did it, I think, in my last market update there. In fact, through all the recessions, if we go back, I think I had a chart going back to the beginning of the 80s or something like that. So we charted every recession. And in every single recession except 2008, house prices either had held steady or increased, not decreased. The only one time they decreased was 2008 during the great financial crash, and that was because that crash was caused by real estate.
Pete, we don't talk about that year.
Recession was caused by real estate. That was the speculation and the oversupply, which we don't have this time around. But every other recession in the last, 40 years, let's say, housing has typically gone up. And it's because, let's look at what we're talking about. Mm. It's all driven by people, right? Yeah. We've been talking about our population has been growing. People have been coming into Arizona. It's not the same for every city. But in the Phoenix market, these people have to live somewhere. And so let's say, demand is getting, affordability is becoming an issue. And so demand's pulling back. Well, where are those people going? It's not like they're disappearing. Are they renting? Okay, well, then that's going to drive rental demand up and rents up. So is that a better thing to do? So, maybe some of them are forced to now take on roommates or move back in with parents or family or, they're somewhere. And so those people don't disappear. And so there's still housing demand, whether it's, on the purchase side, the rental side, somewhere. Those people still have to live somewhere. And so it's not like they magically just get to go away and all the prices come down if we have a recession. People still have to eat. Mm-hmm. People still have to live somewhere. They still have to drive their cars. And so, we see those prices continue during recessions.
Okay, so let's say I believe you then and I'm calming down. I feel a little bit better now.
You're a little bit calmer.
A little bit calmer. Okay. But a big part of the reason that I've started to, look at these things and feel this way is a lot of the articles coming out, a lot of the statisticians coming out and, speaking to a lot of these things. I'm seeing these articles where they're freaking us out. Yeah. And even ones that are trusted sources that we see here in the Arizona market, we're seeing these articles come out and they're a little bit fearful. They're a little bit scary. And so, Pete, help me out then. What do I need to look for here then? What is the telltale sign of like, okay, maybe I am, warranted to start freaking out? Like, what things do I need to look at? How long does this have to continue before I'm like, whoa? Because if I wait till the prices start decreasing, I'm too late. Yeah, that's a lagging effect, right?
Correct.
So where
prices,
should I be?
Prices decreasing are going to be, a lagging indicator. Yeah. Everything's happened by then.
I'm too late at that point, right? So what do I need to see to say, excuse my French, here we go. when do we get to that spot?
Think about what we've talked about before. What do we need for a crash? We need more inventory than buyers. Okay. So even as we are getting weakening demand and demand is weakening as affordability continues to become an issue, then what you still need is that supply to get up to sufficient levels where you now have more people selling than we have buyers out there. And we're nowhere near those levels.
Okay.
We still have incredibly low supply. Now, could we get there at some point? We could.
What is that number? What is that target? Like right now we're sitting at 6,000, 6,500 or so, almost 7,000 maybe. Mm-hmm. And we were down in the fours for a long time.
Exactly. I think we dipped down below 5,000. We had gone to 4,000 something active listings. So a balanced market here in the Phoenix area is, probably about 25,000 or so, 20 to 25,000 before we start seeing some things there. So, we're looking at indicators like, are we continuing to see, hey, is the supply going to keep increasing at 32% a month? That would also be
an exponential increase, because if it's maintaining a 32% increase, that means that it didn't climb 1,500. Next month, it's climbing 2,000. Right. The month after that, it's climbing 3,000. Right. And the month after that, it's even higher. So now you see this almost like a curve in supply.
Hey, if you've got a rate locked in at 3.5% with a pretty good mortgage payment, why are you selling? Where are you going? Who are these
tough
people that are selling? Like, where are they all off to? They got to live somewhere, right?
So many of these months before we start throwing up that white flag surrender?
So what you're going to want to look at is, how much is supply increasing? Are we continuing to get these big increases month over month? Are we heading back towards that balanced market? Does demand continue to go down? Or are we seeing that, hey, we saw this shock come off super low numbers and come up quick because rates jumped up and we had very low supply? So does this level out, or do we keep seeing huge increases in supply month over month for several months? Are we starting to see, you know, days on market that are increasing, our houses sticking around? You know, I know another one we saw out there with the clickbait is, hey, you know, folks we're seeing price cuts on listings. And it's like, well, yeah, when we've been in the last 2 years, a seller could ask any ridiculous price that they wanted, throw stuff for 50 or 100 grand over anything that was even a remote comp and still get it.
Yeah.
You know, now you're starting to see sellers go, what do you mean? I can't overprice my house by 50 grand? Oh, shucks. And so, you know, let's put some perspective on exactly what we're seeing here right now. You know, we're getting a little small dose of reality of, hey guys, let's rein the craziness back in. And this is what we've talked about over the last year and a half is, guys, this insanity couldn't continue.
Yeah.
We need to stop this insanity that we're seeing, and that's what we're seeing now. And so that some of it, a lot of it is a good thing. You know, I don't think we're going to continue to see these massive spike in supply like we saw over this last month. Like we said, it's the first month you're seeing it off those huge lows and stuff like that. And so you're going to see that. But, you know, remember in the Phoenix metro area especially, we keep talking about these are people. We have a growing population, lots of people moving here, lots of jobs coming here. They all need to live somewhere. This isn't just about these numbers and charts we're looking at. Like, where are these people going? Mm-hmm. So, you know, as long as we're in growing areas with growing populations and demand, we don't have enough housing for everybody. That didn't change from 3 months ago, you know, magically overnight.
Yeah.
Like, that didn't just go away.
I guess the good thing is, if you want to see some silver lining in it, we're going to test our market a little bit. We're going to see the health of it. You know, we're going to see how is this a realistic crazy push that we've had over the last couple of years. And the other thing is maybe we actually have a breath of fresh air for buyers. They can actually come up for air in a market where they've been beat up for a couple of years now, where maybe you don't go against 10 other offers, all over appraised value, all just beating each other up. Maybe you fight against 3 to 5 now. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's relatively still protecting your buying power. I don't know. We'll see. And I think that's the thing is, even if it normal rates of appreciation still continue, even if we stop appreciating and it just kind of levels and catches up a little bit, there's still so much value to buying a house in that market as we continue to grow. The only time that becomes a second thought is if we start truly going the other direction, which from based on what you're telling me and based on what we're seeing, it's just too early to even make that prediction yet.
Yeah, there's nothing here at this point that would tell us that. Now, if this continues on at these levels for the next several months, let's start talking then. But, you know, what are the risks that we're looking out there is, like we said, hey, a lot of these Fed hikes are priced in. If they follow through with all these or continue raising past that and say we're going to do even more rate hikes or bigger rate hikes, that might be a different conversation at that point, because then, you know, we could really be going into a big time recession if they do that. I don't know that they would, but, you know, hey, anything's possible, I suppose. And again, that's a different conversation. So, I mean, in summary, what are we saying here? Things cooling off? Yes, definitely. And it's needed because the last 2 years have been absolutely insane, like no one's ever seen. Crash? No. I mean, we don't have this oversupply and just stuff that's out there. Yeah, a lot more stuff would have to change for a lot longer before we start having any conversations
the
like that.
The easiest way for you to think about it is if you're laying out on a chair by the pool on a really hot day and you get to that point where you start sweating and it's really hot, you need to jump in the pool, cool off for a bit. And then if you go sit back on that lawn chair, you're probably going to get hot again. Like, it's probably, you cooled off for a little bit, you took a break, you relaxed. It allows you to stay on that long chair a little bit longer, right? So we'll see. The difference is how long you're going to stay in the pool and what's that process look like. So the key is we just need to sit and wait. We need to be mindful, be viewing what the market's telling us.
Stay
at attention to the news. See what the Fed says. See what additional information we get in the economy and some of these other outside factors. Let's pay attention to whether or not after second quarter we're in that recession, whether or not they're going to continue to push given the information that we've been given, and then make an informed decision. A lot of people, they want to be ahead of the head of the curve, right? They want to be ahead of the news. And that's a big part of everything, is trying to predict what's going to happen. but sometimes you're throwing shots in the dark and it's not a very good educated guess on some of these things. So let's stay tuned in. Well, guys, we're going to be bringing you more and more stuff in the weeks to come. And this is going to be a constant topic of discussion over probably the next 90 days to 6 months as we see these trends either continue, reverse back. We don't know. Yeah. So be mindful, stay tuned in. And you guys, we're excited to be able to be ahead of this thing and actually talk to you guys about good conscious decisions on whether you should buy, whether you should sell, where we're at.
And you know, relax, the world's not coming to an end. I know you go,
you
like,
gotta live somewhere.
YouTube,
remember that.
And you would look at a lot of these videos and you would think like, oh man, everything is just, we're done. Like all this, everything's crashing, world's over.
Yep.
It's not. Let's all calm down a little bit.
So thanks, guys, for joining in again this week. We will see you guys in a couple weeks and continue to touch on these topics. Again, follow us on social media, on Instagram, Facebook, at The KP Elite. And we encourage all your comments and all your advice as we continue to move forward and bringing you guys relevant topics in today's industry and market. So we'll talk to you guys soon.
See you guys.